Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel Vladimir. So we already had three sessions in the summer session, and we've done different parts of Nach. Today I decided to go back to a topic that is based on this week's parsha. This week's parsha is Parshas Ikev, and last week's parsha, Parshas Va'aschanan, we have what we call the first paragraph of Shema. It is in Sefer Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalet, through Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokim, Shem Echad, Ve'ahavta. And this week's Parsha, Parshas Ikev, we have what we call the second paragraph of the Shema. It begins in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It's words that you know off by heart. You recite them every day, multiple times a day, if you daven Tefillas Arvis, and if you say all three paragraphs by the Kriya Shema Al Hamita. So these are words that are very familiar to us. So I'm just going to go through the second paragraph of the Shema. We are going to be speaking about a specific topic in the context of the second paragraph. So the Pesukim begin in Perek Yud Aleph, Parshas Ikev, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'haya im Shemo Tishmu Al Mitzvos. It will be if you will surely listen to my mitzvos, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Eschem Hayim, that I am commanding you today, La'ahavas Hashem Elokeichem, to love the Lord your God, U'la'avda b'chol levavchem, u'b'chol nafshechem, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. V'nesati mitar artzachem, I will put the rain of the land be'ito in its time. Yorei u'malkosh, early rain and late rain. V'asafta deganecha, you will gather in your harvest, your crops. V'sirosh chavitzarecha, your wine and your oil. V'nesati esu b'sarcha levamtecha. So there's a lot of brachos. I will put grass in the field for your animals. V'achalta v'savata, you will eat and you will be satiated. Pasuk Tazayin takes a different tone and now starts to warn us. Be very careful lest your heart be strayed, visartem, and you stray from the path, avadatem Elohim acherim, and you worship gods of others, vishtachavisam lahem, and you bow down to them, vichara af Hashem bachem, and now Hashem will become very angry at you, va'atzar. So the bracha will come from rain in its time, early rain and late rain. The punishment will be that the heavens will close up and there will not be rain and the ground will not give its produce, va'avadatem mehera. Not only that, but you will be lost quickly from upon the good land that Hashem your God is giving to you, and you should put these words upon your heart and upon your soul. Uksharetem los al yadchem vayudototavos b'nei nechem, and you should put them as a sign. This is tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, and you should teach your children ledaber bam, to speak about them, about the mitzvahs, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you sit in your house, v'velechtecha v'aderecha, when you go on the way and when you lay down and when you wake up, and you should put them on mezuzos of your house and your gates, l'man yirbu yameichem, in order that your days will be lengthened, v'yamei v'neichem, and the days of your children, al ha'adam asher nishba Hashem levoseichem, upon the land that Hashem your God has sworn to your forefathers to give to them, ki mea shemayim al aretz, like the days of the shemayim, the heavens upon the earth. So this is the what we call the second paragraph of Shema. The first paragraph, like we said, is in Ve'eschanan. The second paragraph is here in Ekev, and the third paragraph, Vayomer and Tzitzis, actually is in Parsha Shlach. It's the last topic in Parsha Shlach and Bamidbar, Perek Tes Vav Bamidbar. These make up the three paragraphs of the Shema. I want to speak about a specific topic today here, and that is the topic of our heart straying and worshiping the Avodah Zarah. So the two Pesukim, there's Pasuk Tes Vav, and things are still going well. V'nasati Eso Bisadcha, I will put the grass, the herbage in the field, L'vehem Techa, things are still good. This is part of the brachos for your animals. V'achalta V'savata, you should eat and you should be satiated. And then Pasuk Tazayin, we have a warning. Be very careful, be on guard, lest your heart be turned, visartem, and you stray from the path, and you worship the gods of others, and you will bow down to them. So I'm going to begin by quoting a very interesting insight that I found brought down by Rabbi Shalom Rosner in his Shalom Rav. I thought it was extremely interesting. And again, the topic today, we're going to be quoting Rabbi Rosner, and then Rabbi Salvechik, and then Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Ezra Hashem. So three different insights into this idea of what it means to stray, and the idea of the sin of Avodah Zarah, and furthermore, how does it apply to us in our day and age, because nobody here is bowing down to dolls and going to the bathroom in front of Baal Pa'or. So what does Avodah Zarah mean? We know that if the Torah is timeless, and we are still reciting and learning these psukim today, then it applies in all generations, and not only in the time of the Dor HaMidbar when these words were first said. So first of all, Rabbi Rosner points out something so interesting. Oh, Rabbi Shalom Rosner, he just spoke here the other night. Was anyone here? I had Shir, so I wasn't here, but I know he just spoke here. So Rabbi Rasser points out something very interesting. The paragraph that we say after the Shema, the Tefillah, right after we say Emes, v'yatziv, v'nachon, it is true and it is correct, v'kayim, it's upholding, v'yasher, it's straight, v'neman, it's truthful, faithful, v'ahuv, and beloved, loving, v'chaviv, and beloved, v'nechman, desirable, v'naim, and pleasant, v'nora, and awesome, v'adir, and awesome, v'mesukah, and mekubah, v'tav, v'yafeh. Okay? So Rabbi Rasser points out something so interesting. He is quoting the Otzar HaTfilah, who cites an interesting thought about the Shema in the name of Rav Pinchas, the author of Sidur Shar HaRachamim. I'm just quoting Rabbi Rasner Sefer, Shalom Rav, Volume 2. In the morning, right after the recitation of the Kriya Shema, the Siddur lists 16 words that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lashon HaKodesh is not really meant to be translated into English, so a lot of words can't exactly be translated, but we have 16 terms to describe the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'yatzi, v'nachon, v'kayu, v'yasher, v'neman, v'ahu, v'chavi, v'nechmad. 16 words. After each word, after the first word, which is MS, God is truthful, so MS is the umbrella, and then all of these v'yatziv, v'nachon, v'kayam, v'yashar, v'neman, v'ahu, v'chavi, v'nachmad fall under the umbrella of emes. So God is emet. We know chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. I believe that's Maseches Shabbos Nun Hei, I think. The chos emet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. The seal of God is truth. So after you recite the Kriya Shema, we say Hashem is emet, or Hashem is emes, Hashem is truth. And then coming out from the umbrella of emes, you have other terms, 16 other terms. Each word begins with a vav. Emes is the main category, and it can be divided into v'yatziv, v'nachon, vav, v'kayam, v'yashar, v'ne'man, v'ahu, v'chavi, v'nechma, v'nim, v'nara, v'adir, v'mesukan, v'mekuba, it's all vav. There are also 16 psukim in the first two paragraphs of the Shema. Last week's parsha, we already quoted the source, Ekev. No, that's Chanan. This week's Parsha Eikav make up the first two paragraphs of the Shema we said in the beginning of the Shir. And there are 16 psukim in the first two. Well, I just moved my computer by mistake. 1 second, sorry. There are 16 psukim in the first two paragraphs of the Shema. There are 16 terms to describe the Almighty in this paragraph after the Shema. Each word from Emes, V'yatzi, V'nachon, V'kayam, V'yashar parallels one of these psukim. In fact, each pasuk of the first two paragraphs of the Shema begins also with the letter Vav, which I never really paid much attention to. Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, v'hayu hadvarim ha'ela, v'shinantam levanecha, ukshartam l'os, uchsavtam al mezuzos beisecha, v'haya im shema al tishmu, v'nasati mitar artzichem, v'nasati esa b'sarcha. V'charaf Hashem b'chem, v'abadatem v'samtem, v'limadatem, uchsavtem, except for one pasuk, and that is the pasuk of Hishamru Lachem, Pen Yifta Levavchem, V'sartem V'abadatem Elohim Achirim. So again, there are 16 terms, adjectives, if you will, to describe the Almighty that are recited, beginning with Emes, right after we recite the Shema. All of the words after Emes, which is the main category, begin with Avav. I recited them for you. You could look in the Siddur. There are 16 psukim in the first and second paragraph of the Shema. They all begin with Avav, except for one pasuk, and that is the pasuk of Hishamru Lachem, verse 16. Pen yiftel avavchem, v'sartem v'adatem Elohim achir. Be very careful, lest you be turned from the path and you stray and you worship gods of others. Why? What is this teaching us? The letter Vav, writes Rabbi Rosner, is the truthful letter, because it's straight, it's yashar. Avav is a straight line. So Avav is the truthful letter. He calls it the Ot Emet, or the Os Emes. The letter of Yashrus, the letter of straight and true, is Vav, because it's not curved, it's a straight line. It's the only letter that's a straight line. This comes to teach us that every pasuk in the Shema, every statement in the Shema, begins with Vav, and it's truthful, corresponding to one of the attributes of God that emanates from God's attribute of Emes. However, if you look closely, there's one pasuk that does not begin with a vav. The pasuk warning us not to worship gods of others does not begin with a vav. Why? Hisharmu lachem. It doesn't begin with a vav because worshiping gods of others is not being truthful, and therefore it's a yotze min haklal. I thought it was tremendous, especially those who learn with me, and you know that I love focusing on words in Lashon HaKodesh and letters in Lashon HaKodesh. And when someone points it out to you, oh yeah, there's 16 and there's 16 and there's vav and vav, except for here, vav being the os emes, the seal of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, is emes. And the idea that it's all emet except for straying and worshiping gods of others, because this is not emet. Very beautiful. Moving on, I want to go now to a piece from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So the Rav speaks about as follows. Whoops, sorry. So much to organize with the computer, the stander, sorry. Okay, 1 minute. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this idea of Avodah Zarah. And like we said, in today's day and age, how does this translate into our lives? How does this apply to us? So we know that Judaism, says the Rav, hates paganism, the polytheistic universe, Avodas Kochavim, Avodas Alilim, polytheistic, not one God, many gods. Judaism hates this worship. It hates paganism, the polytheistic universe populated by a variety of deities and semi-deities. So there's the river god, and there's the sun god, and there's the moon god, and there's the star god, and there's the love god, and there's this water god. How many times does the Torah warn Israel against the sin of idol worship? If you look through the Torah, it is constantly being reinforced that we must stay away from Avodah Zarah, and particularly in Sefer Devarim, as Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, he constantly exhorts the Bnei Yisrael to stick with God and not to turn after gods of others. In fact, it's one of the Aseres HaDibros as well. The second of the Dibros is Lo Yiyah Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. You should not have gods of others before me. So this is a tremendous principle. It's one of the Ehareg Va'al Ya'avars, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. Reading the Chumash, says the Rav, one may naively say that this was pertinent thousands of years ago, when they had Avodah Zarah. The Torah describes Baal Pa'ar, and the Molech, they would put their children between the bonfires, when mankind moved in the orbit of polytheism, when worship of the divine was synonymous with lewd cultic rituals of paganism, lewd cultic rituals. Baal Pa'ar was debased and disgusting and very lewd, and putting your children through bonfires of the Molech and bowing down to the Asherah tree in this week's parasha. However, nowadays, says the Rav, when civilized religion is monotheistic, both Christianity and Islam fundamentally accept the message of monotheism that is carried by Yisrael. So basically today, when all religions accept a belief in one power, a belief in one God, the whole issue, says the Rav, of monotheism, belief in one God, versus polytheism, beliefs in many gods, has lost its significance. What is the Torah warning us about, the modern Jew today? It's not warning us about, maybe there are still some cults, I don't know, tribal cults that still worship Avodah Zarah in the classic sense, but today, what does this mean? Who is an idol worshiper in our midst? You know, my husband, we were recently, I don't know if it came up in his Amud Yom Yishir with Rabbi Willig, we were recently talking about it. I forgot to ask him the exact details because I didn't think about it when I was preparing Shir. But he used to go to China for business. He would spend a few weeks at a time in Hong Kong. Baruch Hashem, he doesn't need to do that anymore. So he recently told this over to us, that he remembers that after one, I don't know if it was a business deal or meeting, whatever, I guess it went well. So the person, the host, went back to his office, and there was like a Buddha on the table, and he started to pour tea. I don't know if my husband said he lit like a fire, and he started to pour it to the Buddha. I said, Mama Shavuzar, you were sitting there like, Mama Shavuzar, our ritual. Unbelievable. But today, says the Rav, who is an idol worshiper in our midst? How does this really translate into our lives? The relentless struggle in which Moshe and the Nevi'im engaged millennia ago, the Nevi'im were constantly also warning us about sticking to God, is in our age an anachronism. People either believe in one God or they're atheistic and they do not believe. They don't believe in anything. Either you believe in God or you believe in nothing. Instead, they find delight in agnosticism or atheistic doctrines. Who professes faith today in a multitude of gods? The three main religions are all monotheistic, and people in general do not express faith in monotheistic, a multitude of gods. So So Soloveitchik continues when he says, and this piece is going to have a lot of relevance. And when you look at the world stage today, and the political stage today, and the way that people live their lives, you will see, unfortunately, how true this is, and that Avodah Zarah still plagues us in our midst, even though we are not offering, for the most part, tea and incense to the Buddha on the desk. When we read the prophets carefully, says the Rav, the Nevi'im carefully, we discern the prophets did not foresee the defeat of paganism at an early historical stage. So they did not think that paganism would be defeated at an early historical stage. They believed that paganism would continue throughout the millennia. They were not optimistic about a quick and easy victory over polytheism. And whatever is included on our biblical canon, Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros Nechtava, the beginning of Masachas Megillah, Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros Nechtava, V'Sha'enu Hutzrichu L'Doros Eina Nechtava. So this is a very important principle. When we look at the 24 books of Tanakh, anything that is needed for the generations has been recorded and written down. Anything that was not needed as a lesson for generations is not needed and not recorded down. So whatever is included means has relevance in all time periods. So the Rav says the prophets were not optimistic that polytheism and paganism and idol worship would disappear quickly from the historical stage. Apparently God concurred with this, and then the Tanakh is full of prophets who warn us and rebuke us, shoftim, who tell us about straying from the path. Of course, they beheld, the prophets, a great and fascinating vision. We are in the Shiva de Nechamta. They beheld a vision of a future eschatological, as the Rav uses the word all the time of Mashiach. Eschatological? I'm for sure not saying it right. Okay. Of course, they beheld a great and fascinating vision. It means the time of Mashiach. They were captivated by a sublime goal, the awe-inspiring destiny of man in the end of days, when God will reign supreme over all the nations. Whether in fact, this week's Haftorah, I was looking it over, this week's Haftorah describes how Israel and Galus has given up. Hashem azavtani, Hashem has forgotten us, Knesset Yisrael says. We are so long slapping through this Galus, and we come to a point of despair, and we think that the Almighty has given up on us. However, of course, that's not true, but the Galus just slaps and slaps and slaps and slaps. But the prophet saw an exalted end of days. The last pasuk in the Haftarah this week is so beautiful. Mam is so beautiful. It's a famous pasuk. Ki nichem Hashem Tzion, nichem kol charvaseha, v'yasem midbara ke'eden, v'arvasa ke'gan Hashem, sasom v'simcha yimatsuba, toda v'kol zimra. The prophet describes an age where Tzion will be comforted. God will comfort all of her destroyed places. He will put her deserts like springs again, like Eden, and her dried up places like the garden of Hashem. There will be sasom and simcha yimatsuba, toda v'kol zimra. It's so beautiful. So the prophets have described a time when life will be better, and God will be recognized as the sovereign melech malchei hamlachim. However, all these visions, says the Rav, and all of these hopes of the prophets, and all of their prophecies were related to a very distant time in the future. A day replete with majesty and glory, when it will be sason v'simcha yimatsuba, toda v'kol zimra. We're not there yet. And it's taking a long time to get there. Remote and beyond the reach of historical occurrence. They saw a day that is remote. It is beyond the reach. Now we hope Mashiach will come at every time, at every moment, and every day. But the Churban was almost 2,000 years ago. So what they prophesied, Bimos Bayis Rishon, is taking millennia to arrive. It is somewhere on the fringes of time, at the end of days, when there will be belief in one true God, and all of these warnings about Avodah Zarah, Vesartem, Vavadatem, Eloi Mechem, will no longer be relevant. In short, here's the word. The prophets were eschatologically minded, Mashiach minded, the Yemos Mashiach, when they spoke in glowing and passionate words of the universal kingdom of God. Indeed, says the Rav, we still pray to God. We plead with him to wipe out idol worship from the face of the earth. What do we say every single day in Aleinu? Lahavir gelulim min ha'aretz, v'ha'alidim karosi karesun. We ask God to wipe out the gelulim, the avodah zarah, from the earth. V'ha'alidim, the foreign gods, karosi karesun. He shall surely strike down. He shall surely cut down. So we too still pray for the removal of idol, of avodah zarah, of idolatry from our lives and from our world. And yet, says the Rav, as I walk out of the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, I have never noticed a figure of the Baal with horns, nor a statue of the aging Zeus with his determined and energetic face. Judaism, apparently, has a different concept of paganism than the one to which the reader of history is accustomed. So we're accustomed to Baal with horns, and Zeus with his determined face, and Baal Pa'ar with using the bathroom, and the Molech with going through the fire. But Judaism and the Torah understands that the Torah that is eternal, the message transfers in different generations as the Avodah Zarah changes. So what is the Avodah Zarah today, says the Rav? Who then is the perennial idol? What does perennial mean? You have annual flowers and perennial flowers. Annuals need to be planted every year. Perennials, like tulips, like hydrangeas, come up on their own every year. Who then is the perennial idol that man worships? Who is the deity that man adores? Who is the God to whom man is unqualifiedly committed? What's the answer? Himself. Did someone say it that you didn't hear? It is man himself. And that's why I said, when you look at the world stage and political leaders and those who are running the show, the power hungry, the violence crazed, those who lack concern and respect for others, who are they really worshiping? Themselves. The most horrible, repulsive, and menacing idolatrous worship. Most horrible, repulsive, a menacing idolatrous worship is the deification and absolutization, absolute, of man. The deification of man, making man the absolute power. This is the most horrible, the most repulsive, the most menacing. Man may be great, says the Rav, but if we forget for a fraction of a second that man is also very, very small, we commit the sin of idolatry. This is something that the Torah warns us about in Paraches of this week's Parsha as well, Parshas Ekev. It's very interesting. The Psukim and the juxtaposition of the Psukim in Parshas Ekev Paraches follow the pattern that we see in the Shema. First, we have a list of brachos, and the Pasuk says in Paraches, Pasuk Yod, V'achalta v'savata, just like we said in the Shema, V'nesati esav b'sarcha v'amtecha, V'achalta v'savata, Hishamru lachem. Listen to Paraches. What comes on the heels of V'achalta v'savata? Just like in the Shema, Hishamru lachem, Hishamru lacha, pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha. What happens? You forget God? You don't guard his mitzvos. Pen tochal, you eat. V'savata, you're satiated. Uvatim tovim tivne v'yashavta, you build good houses and you live in them. Uvekarcha v'tzoncha yirbiyun, and your cattle and your flocks increase. V'kesev v'zaha v'yirbelach, and you'll have silver and you'll have gold. It's such a society of affluence. V'chalasholacha yirba, he's describing the time and day and age in which we live. We have nice houses, that's not my words. Batim tovim tivne. And we have a lot of food. And there's a lot of money. Kesef v'zav. We live, for the most part, in a very affluent society. And what is the danger? V'ram levavecha v'shachachta es Hashem Elokecha. Your heart will become haughty. A man will forget Hashem, your God. V'amarta b'levavecha kochi v'otzem yadi. It is the deification of man. So the Psukim in Paraches, it's also this week's parasha, which is a very, very beautiful, beautiful parak, mimic the pattern that we see in the Shema, but it's much more explicit. In the Shema it says, Vavadatem Elohim Acherim, but in Paraches it tells you, you will become rich, you will have nice homes, you will have many animals, you will have silver, you will have gold, you'll be so comfortable, your heart will become haughty, you will forget Hashem your God, and you will say, it's all because of me. I am powerful. I am successful. I have built all of my wealth. This is the absolutization and deification of man. Excuse me. Man may be great, but if we forget, even for a fraction of a second, says the Rav, that man is also very, very small, we commit the sin of idolatry. Man is divine. Why is man called Adam? The Rav says in a totally different piece on Sefer Bereishis, why are we called Adam? Because either man is Edme LeElyon, or man is, why is man called Adam? We are either Edme LeElyon, or we are Adama. Man has great potential, but Salam Elokim Nivra HaAdam, but Salam Kedmuso. So man has great potential to tap into the divine spark within, to live a godly, exalted life under the dominion of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if we forget this, we become nothing more than Adama, nothing more than dirt. The potential lies within each one of us, how we channel our lives. Man is divine. You have a spark of the Ribbono Shel Olam in your neshama. It's a pasuk from Iyov, inside all of us. Yet when man is not also aware of his satanic nature, we also have the Yetzer Hara, the Satan. Why b'chol avavcha? B'chol avavchem, double based. Last week's parsha and this week's parsha in the Shema. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha. Last week 6:5. B'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. It should say b'chol libcha. What's levavcha? So Rashi says b'shnei yitziracha. We have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer Hara. A man must be aware of the conflicting powers that reside within him. On the one hand, you have the good inclination. On the one hand, you have the evil inclination. The good inclination says, submit to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He made you all this power. He made you all this wealth. The Yetzer Hara says, submit to your own power and your own wealth. And it's so dangerous because we live in such a society of affluence where people have multiple cars, multiple washing machines, multiple entrances to their homes, multiple steps to the top floor, multiple locations where they could travel, multiple bank accounts, multiple cleaning help in the house. I'm not saying how many choices are there on the shelves of food. There's such a plethora of everything. It's wonderful to live in such a society. My mother talks about her growing up, Holocaust survivor parents. Her mother used for baking an empty yahrzeit glass. That was her measuring cup. My grandmother, Allah Hashem, she had a yahrzeit glass that was washed out, and that was for baking. And she would have to lock, my mother said when she would bake, she would have to lock it. I don't know if it was for Shabbos or whatever, behind the pantry, it would be finished quickly. She had a salting board in the basement, a kashering board for the chickens. My father says his mother, they were all Holocaust survivors, would go down to the market and bring home a fish. And mamash put in the bathtub. Remember the carp in the bathtub, the book? I had it as a kid and I bought it for my kids. They never liked it. It's very long. But for me, it was so nostalgic. But my father wasn't a book. You know, that's how the Holocaust survivors had. My mother remembers her mother's Ringer washer. Ringer washer. Today you push a button to do laundry. And I still complain that I've, not really, but I just, every time I put on laundry, I say, thank you, Hashem. But the times have changed. A man is so powerful. We have made deaf people hear and speak. We have made people without limbs, amputees, with prosthetics, walk again. We have made people whose hearts are not good, have valve replacement and heart transplants. It's so dangerous because man starts to think how great I am. And God is hidden from the historical arena. When we become so powerful. Because if man is so powerful, then there's no room for the power of God. Man is divine, says the Rav. It's true, but if he loses sight of his satanic nature, the Yetzer Hara, b'chol levavcha, b'chol libcha, b'shnei yitziracha, he errs, and he is guilty of a grave offense. A grave offense, a grievous error. Absolutization of man's worth. Your worth is absolute. There's only one who has absolute power. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. I went to Rabbi Shai Shefter say years ago in a shir. He says he can't understand how the weather people could say it's going to rain 100%. You could tell me 56. I walked out the door to his car. I said to my husband, is it going to rain? So of course I checked my weather widget. I put a rain jacket. It's in the car. If it starts raining now, it's not really going to help me in the car. But you could say it's going to rain 50% chance, 60, 70, 80, 90, even 95% chance. How could you tell me 100% chance? Are you God? 100% chance. There has to be some humility on the part of man in the way in which we live our lives with all this power, technological advances, plethora of food, multiple this and multiple that. In those days, it was kesef v'zav, v'karcha v'tzoncha. Today, it's cars and vacation homes and cleaning ladies. I'm not saying you shouldn't have them, and I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy them, but it's not because I, kochi, v'otzem yadi, asali, as hachayel hazah. That's not correct. V'zacharta, Hashem Elokecha. Idealization of man's nature. These are tantamount to the most barbarous forms of idolatry, like barbaric. The world will be rehabilitated and the world will be redeemed, says the Rav, only when man has adopted with regard to himself a dual value judgment. It's very famous. It's brought down in many places. The Rav brings it down. Also, but the Rav says it in the name of the Kotzker. Others say it in the name of other Hasidic Rabbis, that you have two pockets. I know you all know this. In one pocket, you have Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. You are Godin. In the other pocket, you have Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Without the Ribon Shalom, I am nothing but dust and ashes. The world will be rehabilitated and the world will be redeemed, says the Rav, only when man has adopted with regard to himself a dual value judgment. On the one hand, I'm very great and I can accomplish. Don't leave this year saying, you know, you shouldn't be successful and you shouldn't use what society offers us to the maximum. We should. We're supposed to. God put us here to enjoy this world. On the other hand, don't forget the dual value judgment is that everything is from the Ribono Shel Olam. The world will be rehabilitated and redeemed when man looks at himself, not only with admiration, says the Rav, but with suspicion as well. We have to be suspicious of the Yetzer Hara that lives within. I think it's obviously tremendously powerful and also has a lot of relevance, as I've illustrated with commenting on the Rav in today's society. Right, so we did Rabbi Rosner, the Vavs. Vav is MS, straight, Yashar, God is MS, 16, except for Hishamu Lachem, Pen Yifta Levavchem, Vesartem Vadatem Elohim Achirim. And we had what the Rav says is the Avodah Zarah of today's day and age. Now I want to go on an unbelievable piece, an interpretation by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Livracha. Okay. If you look in the Shema, I'm in the second paragraph. Okay, we're in Pashas Eikev. Listen carefully. V'haya im Shema tishmu al mitzvosai. It's an if-then statement. If you do your part, I'll do my part. If you go in the way of the mitzvos and love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, the rain will fall in its time. Rain not in its time is a curse, and not in the right place is not a blessing. Yorei umalkosh, early and late. You will gather in your crops. And your wine and your oil. There will be another bracha. V'nesati esav bisadcha. I will give grass, herbage in the field. Levehem tacha. For your animals. Another bracha. V'achalta v'savata. You will eat and you will be satiated. And now, immediately after v'achalta v'savata, hishamu lachem. Be very careful. Pen yifta levavchem v'sartem. V'avadatem eloi machirim v'ishtacha v'isam lab. Ultimately, so what happened? What happened between everything was going well, all of a sudden, v'achalta v'savata, and then hishamu lachem? If I had to write these psukim, which clearly I did not have to, which is a good thing, but if I had to, I wouldn't put v'achalta v'savata at the end of pasuk tesvav. Listen where I would put v'achalta v'savata. V'nesati mitar artzichem be'ito. I put the rain of the field, of the ground in its time. Yorei u'knal kosh, early rain and late rain. V'asafta digonecha, you should gather in your crops. V'si roshcha, v'yitzarecha, your wine and your oil. V'achalta v'savata, it just described the rain in the field. It just described in its time. It just described your produce and your wine and your oil. V'achalta v'savata. You will eat and you'll be satiated. Then, v'nasati esav b'sarcha levem tacha. I will give the grass from the field for the animals. Then, hisham ulachem. It seems to be that the last two words of pasuk tesva, v'achalta v'shavata, are out of order. Because in pasuk yudalid, it describes the blessing that will come to us and the bounty we will reap and harvest from the ground. Crops, wine, oil. We have the Shivat HaMinim in this week's parasha, Periches, Pasuk Ches. Also, back in the parak I was quoting before, it is an Eretz Chito U'Sa'ora V'Gefen U'Te'ena V'Rimon Eretz Eichem Nundvash. So here we see with the rain, those blessings will come to fruition. You'll gather in the Chita and the Sa'ora. You will have the wine, the Gefen. You will have the oil, Eretz Eichem. Now it should say v'achalta v'savata, after it describes man gathering. Then it should say your animals will have herbage of the field. And then it should say yisham b'lachem. That's going on. All right, Dr. Norman Lam has a brilliant shot. Remember, the topic is Avodah Zarah. We began with the Vavs, we moved to the peace by the Rav, the worship of self. How does man become so debased? How does man become so foolish that we find ourselves on the slippery slope of worshiping gods of others? Whether it's polytheistic gods, whether it is the worship of self, whether it's Avodas Kochavim, how did this happen? So the answer lies in the sequence of those psukim. Yadalid, the bracha is coming to us, Siroshcha Yitzarecha, Tasvav, Vinasati Esa Bisarchal from Techa, the Achalta Visavata, Tazayin Hisham Rulachem, Penyiv Televavchem Visartam. Idolatry, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. This was a drasha given. Wow. August 25th, 1951. It's amazing also to read the date. They always include, I have all five of the Svarim, Drashot Lidarot, Commentary for the Ages, on all the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And they always include the date when Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam prepared and delivered these sermons. And it's a window into history very often. Last night he was talking about the television being brought into the living room. Not last night. In a shir I gave last night, I quoted a different piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, where we were talking about the TV in the living room. So obviously today we walk around with the TVs in our hands. It's just a window into the world. It's just incredible from a historical perspective. So this was said, written, and delivered in 1951. 71 years ago. What is Avodah Zarah? And more than that, how do we become subservient to Avodah Zarah? Idolatry, no matter what kind, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, ancient or modern, is easier than true religion. And because it's easier to practice, success is more readily attainable in idolatry than in monotheism. First of all, it requires less mental exertion. Sometimes it's very mentally tiring to have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. My life is full of nisyonos, and you're standing in prayer, Shifri Kamayim Libech, No Kach Pnei Hashem. It is mentally exerting to be involved in a relationship with God. True religion is more abstract, says Rabbi Lam, more difficult conceptually than the belief in a tangible idol. I could see the Buddha on the desk, so I could pour tea and light incense to give thanks for the business deal, because it's something tangible, it's right in front of me. The invisible is harder on the intellect than the visible. Even in English, we have an expression, seeing is believing. Something you can see is tangible. I could see, I don't have to believe it's there. Okay, like if you told me I didn't see the tissues, and if you told me there's tissues here on the desk, let's say I couldn't go out and check, I have to believe your word for it. I can't, might not be able to verify it for myself. But if I see it, then I know it's there. The invisible is harder on the intellect than the visible. Thus, idolatry is less emotionally taxing than Judaism. It's easier to offer your devotion to or embrace a slab of concrete or a totem pole or a Rembrandt or a money bag or a rabbit's foot or Hollywood than it is to fall in love with an unknown God whom your senses cannot detect. No longer do we dream like Yaakov Avinu and Hashem appears to us. I'm going to repeat that. He offers other examples of Avodah Zarah. It is easier to offer your devotion to or to embrace a slab of concrete or a totem pole or a Rembrandt or a money bag or the charm of a rabbit's foot than it is to fall in love with an unknown God who your senses cannot even detect. Idolatry places fewer restrictions upon your behavior than does Judaism. Judaism dictates every single thing you do. The creed of the Moloch or the Baal never demanded Sabbath observance. The religion of the money bag certainly places no restrictions on corrupt business practices. And the faith in the sacred cow of science requires ethical conduct of no one. All sources indicate that idolatry is frequently sanctioned murder, immorality, and downright degeneracy. Why do normal people fall prey to the curse of idolatry? So like the Rav, he identifies that we're not only talking about the Moloch or the Baal. In his words, the money bag, Rembrandt, the arts, the charm of the rabbit's foot. Putting a key in your challah and thinking that that key is going to make you parnasa. If you do it, it's fine. You ask your rabbi, it's fine. But don't think the key is giving you business. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Why do normal people fall prey to the curse of idolatry? Why do they succumb to the opiate, the drug of easy living? Let us read the verse. V'nasati esa bisadcha levehemtecha v'achalta v'savachta, and then immediately, hishamu lachem, pan yifta levavchem, v'sartem v'vadetem eloi mechirim. I thought the v'achalta v'savachta should be after v'asafta deganecha. Then tell me about the animals in the field. There will be grass in the field for the animals. You will eat. You will be satiated. Be very careful not to worship gods of others. What's the answer? When we're satisfied being animals, when we don't want to be a human being, when you're content living like the beast of the field, you're very quickly straying from the path of divinity. It's brilliant. Animal, what was that? Nothing. Animals have no sense of tznius for the most part. Some are more modest. But in fact, many animals, males specifically, use their urine to mark their territory. I'm not saying anything bad about animals. This is how Hashem made them. So they're going to relieve themselves on any tree that they find. And whoever is watching, you're watching. Animals, when they come into heat in mating season, will find a partner. There are few animals like turtle doves that mate for life. Most do not. And they will mate. If the lions make a kill, if the jaguar makes a kill, very often a pack of hyena will come and steal the kill. It's not yours, it's mine. I want it, so I'm going to take it. I want a mate, so I'm going to find an animal. I want to go to the bathroom, so I'm going to go to the bathroom right here. V'nasati esa b'sarcha livehemtecha v'achalta v'savata hishamu lachem pen yiftel levavchem v'sartem v'avadetem Elohim achirim v'heshtachavisam lahem v'chora af Hashem. You want to live like an animal? You're not a beast of the field. You're a person. You're a human being. We're not hyenas that steal from the lion. We're not lions that mark our territory by urinating publicly on the tree. We don't roam around looking for someone to mate with randomly. You want to live that kind of life? Levehem techa. This is fine. My standards are so low, I don't even want to tap into. I don't even want to work on. It's hard work to be a human being. I'd rather be Adama than Edmela Elyon. It's hard to be a person. It's hard to be dignified. It's hard to be refined. It's hard sometimes to follow all the precepts of Judaism that demand every single aspect of our lives. But that makes you a person, not a beast. The grass is for the animals. And if you want to eat that, if you want to consume that, if you want to live in the field like an animal, then you have forgotten God in your lives. Yishamru lachem, pen yiftel levavchem. Inevitably, v'sartem. You want to smash windows and loot stores and take things that don't belong to you? The death rate on the July 4th weekend from shootings In America, it was in the hundreds. Hashem Yirachim Aleinu. There's no business ethic and you want to steal, you're no different than the hyena. There's no fidelity and you want to be with whoever you want, whenever you want, then you're no different than the animal of the field. And we live in a society, and I'm not talking about us in this room, where people have chosen and are happy to be no better than the beast of the field. And the Torah tells you what's going to happen if you set your sight so low. If you're satisfied with that, v'achalta, you eat from there, Esav, v'savata, that's enough for you. V'sartem, v'avadatem, alohi mechirim, v'chara af Hashem b'achem, v'atzaras Hashemayim, v'lo yeh matar, mida k'negan mida. That matar that caused the grass to grow in the field, it's not going to fall anymore. And Eretz Yisrael will not tolerate you. Eretz Yisrael is for an Am that lives in the image of God. Va'avadatem mehera, me'al ha'aretz ha'tova. Eretz Yisrael was made for the children of the Avos and the Imahos. If you choose to live like an animal, you forget about the Ribono Shel Olam in your lives. Who's going to say the Shema the same again? I'm going to continue with Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam a little bit. His spin is slightly different than the way that I have presented it. But the Chiddush is totally his, that it's v'achalta v'savata, when you eat the food of the animals, then you come to Avodah Zarah. In the words of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, if a person is satisfied with eating grass reserved for his cattle, if the individual is satisfied to thrive on straw and hay, then certainly his goals are so low, he will easily attain idolatry. He's not interested in working for anything, certainly not for Judaism and a connection with God. If this person's noblest goals are not as high as the stars in the heaven, but they are as low as the hay of the field, if he is satisfied with only grass, then his loftiest aim and his highest ambition in his religious life will not be dedication to one God. It will be the worship of clay and wood. The danger of idolatry rears its ugly head when people's aims are on the level with the grass of the field that's meant for animals. When they strive for straw instead of stars, and you are content with success in obtaining the straw of the field, you forget God. The great American ideal is success. Success can apply as well to a well-executed murder. Is that success? I have two friends who intend to accelerate their reading this summer, 1951. One decided to read 10 important novels published during the past year. The other friend was less ambitious and selected 3 bestsellers for his summer reading list. Today I hear the second fellow has completed his list of 3 books. He is, by American standards, a success. The first fellow finished 8 of 10 books. He didn't reach his goal. He is considered by American standards a failure. Yet who has accomplished more? Is success really, success of the end result, really a measure of achievement? Is it really necessary for a meaningful life? Idolatry is certainly easier than Judaism. But what is our goal? If you want to live like a person, you can only live by the guidance of Torah. Then you will find God. Then leman yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem ala adama asher nishba ala voseichem aseis lehem. People who are satisfied with straw are ripe for idol worship. It's a much longer piece, just a very small excerpt from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. The Navi told us in the end of last week's Haftorah, which we learned last week in this class, Su'u marom einechem. Don't be like the cow of the field. Lift your eyes up to the heaven. U'ru'u mi bara ela. When you live like a person and you set your sights up to God, you will see who created everything in this world. And then maybe, and we can live like human beings. Ki nicheim Hashem Tzion, nicheim kol chorvasaha, v'yasa midbara ke'edan, v'arvasa kegan Hashem, sason v'simcha, yimatsuba, toda, v'kol zimra. Halavai, we should be so zocha to see the fulfillment of this nevuah. Ki me'er shamayim ala oretz, we will be granted prolonged life, just as long as the heavens is old. The land that God promised to our forefathers, our foremothers, Vaseis Lahem, while she says, Mikan Trias Hamesim in a Torah. Laman Yerbu Yamevi Yamechem, Laman Yerbu Yamechem, Yamevinechem, Allah Damash or Nishba Hashem Lavosechem, Vaseis Lahem. Shouldn't say Vaseis Lahem, just say Vaseis Lahem. Vaseis Lahem, but Avos died millennia ago. What's Vaseis Lahem? In the end of days, there will be Trias Hamesim. And the Avos, and upon the resurrection of the dead, will inherit the land that was promised to them. Says Rashi, Mikan L'Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Vav is Emes, 16 Psukim, 16 attributes of God. Vav is the Ot Emes, because it's Yashar. Except for Hishamru Lachem, it doesn't start with a Vav. Because to worship idolatry is not Emes. We must be very careful, more than careful, vigilant, not to succumb to the prey of kochi ve'otzem yadi asali, li, me, I need, I want, I deserve, I pad, I feel, I phone, I watch. What else do they have? I don't even know. Someone pointed out to me that we, the game, is spelled with two I's, it's not even me, it's me and me. Says the Rav, you might not be bowing down to the Asherah tree today. But the worship of self is the most dangerous form of avodah zarah. And finally, how did this all happen? If you're content to live like a beast of the field, and you forget the God of Shemayim Va'aretz. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, Besuras Tovos. After today, there are two more classes in our summer series. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and a good Shabbos. Thank you. Thank you to everyone on Zoom for joining us.